All right. I have a question. If God is so loving, and if God is so powerful, which He is, I believe, why is evil still on this earth?
Why does the devil stay on here?
Ooh! But His kingdom has come, right? Has His kingdom come? Has His kingdom come? It has, yes. God's kingdom has come on this earth. Right? When Jesus came, you know, He said the kingdom is not something that's seen, but it's inside you. It's within you. The kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is here. And yet if the kingdom of God is here, why is evil seem like it just having more and more success? More and more success all around us. You know, while we are here right now, there are brothers and sisters of ours who are in other countries right now that are getting persecuted for their faith. They're not only getting persecuted, some of them are being imprisoned, tortured, just because they confess Jesus and they want to let other people know about Him. Think, why is there such incredible hostility? This is one of the things the disciples asked Jesus. Said, what's going on? What's going on? And it should be something that as Christians, it's probably a question a lot of us have had too. Said, why is there so much of this all around us? Why is there so much evil? Why is there, and why doesn't God just deal with it and get rid of it? You know, and Jesus is going to deal with it. He's going to share with us what this issue is and what the situation is. Why it's here, what's going on with it, and what God's going to do about evil eventually. And He talks about that in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And we're going to go through verse 24 through 30, and then a few more verses after that. But this is the parable. Now, Jesus, remember, Jesus was now speaking to the people. And we've been talking about in the Gospel of Matthew. At first, Jesus went along and He told people really plainly about what His purpose was, why He came, why He was there. But then it says people just, they heard Him, but they were Jesus fans. And they weren't Jesus followers. You know the difference? You know what the difference is? A Jesus fan is somebody that when Jesus is around, oh yay Jesus, but when He's not around, they do what they want to do. Right? A Jesus follower is somebody who's, man, I'm always hanging on to whatever He says, whatever He does, whatever He wants, that's what I want to do. That's a Jesus follower. There were Jesus fans who liked being around Jesus because where He was at, there was always something exciting going on, right? People were getting fed, people were getting healed. He was always putting down the Pharisees and scribes, which they didn't like anyway, you know? And so, and they this was like fun to them. This was fun to be around that. But there wasn't any change in their heart. And that's why, you know, we went through chapter 11 where Jesus, he says, woe to you. You cities that I've preached in and I've shared and I've done these miracles in. Woe to you because you guys didn't change. There's no change at all. So it says that from then on, Jesus started speaking in parables. Right? And it says the reason He did it, it says, so seeing they won't see, hearing they really won't hear, so that they could turn and be saved. And so He's speaking in parables. But those people that really want to know the truth, those are the people that kept coming to Jesus and said, now, help me out. What the heck did that mean again? You know, I want to know. I really want to know what you said there. And so this is the second parable Jesus tells in chapter 13. The first one was of the sower and the seed, the four different soils. But this is the second parable, and it's also about another sower. And Jesus told them another parable. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? an enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them all up? You know, pull up those weeds? He says, no, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now, Jesus spoke a parable, and like I said, the reason he spoke parables is because he was trying to draw people in, but he was trying to get people who really wanted to know more truth to say, I want to know more truth. But there was a lot of people that just, they heard it and go, oh, okay, wow, interesting. That's an interesting thought. And Jesus tells a story about a sower, all right, a man who went out and says he sowed good seed into his field. Now, when it says he sowed good seed, it's not just somebody going out and sowing seed, but all of a sudden he wanted a particular crop. And so it's almost like he went through and he saw all the seeds, you know, and he saw those ones. He said, oh, this is a good one. Put it over here. This is a good one. Put it over here. And he sowed good seeds because he wanted a particular crop to grow. And he was excited about it. You know, he was really excited about it, about this good crop growing. But it says something evil happened. That evening, it says, when he went to bed and slept, it says, a wicked man came and he sowed weeds or tares, or a lot of the commentators say it's a seed that's called darnel, which is a seed that when it starts to grow, it looks just like wheat. Looks just like wheat when it starts to grow. But as it continues to grow, it has a different texture and it has a different head. And if you actually eat it, you get sick. And if you mix it with wheat, you get dizzy and you get sick, and some people have died from it. So what this wicked guy did, he actually was trying to sabotage this guy's field. You know? And I mean, some of the commentators have said that this still happens in some places in like the Middle East, where if a neighbor doesn't like you, they'll go after you've sown all your seed, they'll go and try to sabotage your field by sowing stuff in it that looks like it could be wheat, but it becomes something that's actually poisonous. You know, so it was extremely evil, malicious, really was the intent that this guy had. And so Jesus said, this is kind of what the kingdom of God is like. And it says, as this grew, as it began to grow, all of a sudden the servants of this guy, they began to look and say, hey, look at this. This isn't just wheat that's growing here. This is the bad stuff. He says, you want us to go pull it out? He says, no, because it's already grown tall enough now to where both the stalks have kind of intermingled in their roots. He says, so if you start pulling up the weeds, you'll accidentally pull up some of the good stuff too. I don't want the good stuff being pulled up. He says, wait till the end. Wait till the end. There is a time that's going to come where God says, I'll deal with this wickedness. You know, because oftentimes we look and we say, God, there's just wickedness. There's evil all around us. And sometimes that evil looks like just normal people. And so Jesus said, here's the deal. Let's wait till the end. Let's wait till the end. Jesus then he goes on to say, when his disciples, it says they came to him later on, they say, Lord, explain to us what you meant. What was a whole parable about the sower and the tares, the wheat and the tares? What's that mean? I always like it better when Jesus explains a parable than when I try to explain it. All right? Because he gets it right all the time, you know? And oftentimes we make guesses at what we think it might mean. But when they came and asked him, and that's the thing, when all of a sudden you don't understand something about life, the best thing to do is go to Jesus, right? Because he's got answers. And so it says, those that seek him, they'll find him. You know, he says, when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. And he wants to share with us the truths and what's going on and what he's doing. He wants to do that. And the disciples came to Jesus, says, after everybody else went away, they kind of went away scratching their head going, okay, the tares and the wheat. Yeah, it's an interesting story. Wow. They all went away. And then it says, then the disciples came to Jesus when he went back in the house and explain to us what that meant. What that mean? And so he answered them, and this is what he said in verse 37. And he answered them, he said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Oh, okay, got that. So the good seed is, the guy who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He said, the field is the world. Okay, this is different than the last parable, where the field was just, at times, just the hearts of everybody. The field is a world. So, the Son of Man is the guy that's sowing it, and the field, which it said is his field, is the world. So, the world is the Lord's. Right? The world is the Lord's, and everything in it. This world does not belong to Satan. Okay? This world belongs to God. And so, as Christians, we need to take care of this world. We should be the greatest environmentalists around in reality because of that, right? I mean, we should not be people that throw trash out and that are sloppy with stuff, and we should be good environmentalists. We should be concerned about this world because it's the Lord's. This world is the Lord's. So he that sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is a world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. Who's that? Oh, you and me. Oh, that's who that is. God's placed us in a world. Wow. Okay. So we're sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So now, we have a key to understanding this parable from Jesus' own lips, right? Where he tells us. He says that one, the seed represents two kinds of people. There's two kinds of people in this world, right? Sons of the kingdom, sons of the wicked one, sons of the devil. That's all, right? There's not a third category. Sons of the kingdom, sons of the devil. Now, we used to be on one side, right? But we got saved, and then God placed us back into the world. And we became sons of the kingdom. Right? So he doesn't say here that sons of the devil can't become sons of the kingdom. He just says that there are sons of the devil in this world. And we know that, huh? Do you guys know there's wickedness out there? You know? And the one who put them there is the devil, right? He's called the God of this age. He's called the God of this age, the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. And such were all of us. Such were all of us, but God. But God in his mercy saved us. But he says there are tares, there are things that are sown into this world that as they're growing, they might look really good. But he says, they aren't. They're going to kill you. Right? There are sometimes people that claim to be believers that really aren't. What do you do about that? What do you do about that? How do you deal with that? Jesus had said earlier, in Matthew's gospel, and we went through that. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, he says, there are just people out there, sometimes they look right, but they're not right. Because of just when you watch how people live. And you notice who the reapers are? Do you notice who the ones who are separating the wheat and the tares? Or the wheat and the weeds? Who are they? They're the angels. They're not people. Amazing. They're the angels that are actually separating the evil from the good. And that's going to happen at the end of the age, he said. At the end of the age. Jesus closes it and he says this. And he says this in verse 40 to 43. He says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun of the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Now, if you want to know why evil is here in this world, because, like Dexter said, there is a real devil and he's placed it here. All right? The devil would have us believe, oh, God put it here, but the evil is in this world because the enemy has placed it here. And the enemy is using it. But he says, there's going to come a time, there's going to come a time where all of a sudden God's going to deal with all the evil in this world. And we're just going, Lord, make it now. Just say, Lord, just come quickly. Just deal now. You know, and sometimes we think, Lord, why don't you deal with it right now? Because if he dealt with it right now, he'd have to deal with all the evil inside of us too. Right? Because God is totally just, and he can't just deal arbitrarily with a little bit of evil that's going on over there. He has to deal with the evil that's inside here too. And so there's a thing called free will. You know what that is? Your free will. To where all of a sudden that's the ability to choose to do the right thing. Right? And for us, we choose it some of the times. Right? Because we have free will. And so if God were to deal with all the evil, he'd have to deal with all the evil inside of us too. But there's going to come a time where he will deal with all evil that is out there. All of it completely. And he will deal with it completely. And so he says, have hope. Even though at times it feels like we live in a world that is continually just circling the toilet, you know, and just getting deeper and deeper in. We have to be confident, you know what, God, you're still at work. You're still doing things. We still trust you. We still believe you, God. You still sustain us. You're still working in us, Lord. We still have hope in you and not in what we see, right? That's called faith. Is where we're not looking at the outward, but we're looking at God, what's really happening, and you're doing something in the Spirit, because it says your kingdom is going to remain until that time. And your kingdom is going to continue to work and grow and get larger and work in different areas that maybe we can't see it completely, but it is having an effect. And as Christians, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is continue to have an effect in this world. So we can't lose hope. But for a time, we need to realize that evil will continue in this world. So, I'm going to talk about these principles that we must learn these next few minutes, just a couple of minutes. And there's several lessons we need to draw from this parable. This is the first one. As children, we are sown into the world to influence it. As children of God, we are sown into the world to influence it. That's why we're here. We're supposed to be influencing. Everywhere you're at, everything you're doing, every person you talk to is supposed to be not only a physical experience, a mental experience, but it's also a spiritual experience. Every time you communicate with somebody, you're bringing Jesus. You and I are bringing Jesus wherever we're going. Every person that we're talking to and that we're involved with, God is wanting to work in and through us, all right? We saw that when we went through experiencing God. He's always at work. He's inviting us to be a part of what he's doing. And so everywhere we are at, everywhere we're going, be it the grocery store, the gas station, the banks, everywhere we are, where we are, we're bringing the Spirit of God with us to influence whoever is around us. And we have opportunity every single day to minister hope and life and encouragement and love to people. Every day, we have that opportunity. Now, we have free will, right? And we can do that or we don't have to do that. Right? We can choose to basically take that in our brains that, Lord, you've called me to be an influencer in this world. Regardless of how outgoing I am or not. Right? Even if you feel like I'm just a wallflower, nobody cares what I say, nobody cares. No. God is with you. God is working in you. And he wants to move through you to touch lives. God has placed us in this world to influence it. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be. So he said he took good seed and he sowed it into his field. God saved us, threw us back into the world, says influence it. Share with them what you know, what I've shown you. How much I love you, how much I'm for you, what I want to do in your life. Do that. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. He says, I have given, when he prayed to his Father, and this was really the Lord's Prayer, which says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. I don't pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, also I send them into this world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified by the truth. You know, and then he said, all authority is given to me. And he said, so this is what you guys are supposed to do. You're supposed to go make disciples of men, right? That's what he told us. When he says, go ye. Who's the ye there? Ooh, yes it is. Go ye, make disciples of all men, right? So, here's the deal. You guys have an incredible, all of us, we have an incredible calling on our lives to minister hope and life to people. Second thing, as long as Jesus' kingdom is in this world, the devil will also ensure that evil will also be present. As long as God's kingdom is in this world and growing, the enemy is also in this world very, very present. All right? That doesn't need a lot of understanding. We see that all around us. We see the evil that's happening all around us. You know? The tares are always among the wheat. You know? And we can't ever let our guard down. We always need to recognize that there is a real devil out there and he hates you. He does. He hates you and me. Hates us with a passion. And sometimes you might say, well, I'm a nice person. Why does he hate me so much? You know, just because you're a Christian. That's why. He hates you and he hates everything about you. See, the devil, he realizes that God has a plan. And you know what God's plan is? To throw him in the lake of fire. That's his doom. He knows that, all right? And so he does everything he can to basically waylay that, to push it off further and further. And the more people he can influence with his wickedness, he feels the further off he can push off the inevitable. Which isn't true, but I mean, it's what he does. Because he knows that's going to happen. He knows that is his end. His end is total destruction. But he's so deceived that he thinks that I can do everything I can just to push that off. But the Bible says that one day, the reapers, Jesus is going to send the reapers and all evil will be removed. All of it. And he says, all things that offend, he's going to remove all things that offend. Remove those out of the field. Everything that offends. Literally, all the stumbling blocks, that's what that means. Anything that offends is a stumbling block. And all those who practice lawlessness, or all those who practice or advocate actions that violate God's standards or holiness. You know, Jesus said later in Matthew 18, it says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Not a happy thought. But for now, you know, the enemy is at work and he's seeking to sow more and more tares in this world. The third principle we need to realize is that it's not our role to remove evil from this world. All right? It's not our role to remove evil out of this world. Now the servants came to the master and said, but, you know, master, we see the evil that's there in the world. You want us to go and pluck it out. What did the master say? No. Why? He says, because in plucking it out, all of a sudden, you might be plucking out something really good. You know? You might be plucking out good things because of your attitude, because of how you're going about it, because you just think it's, you know, I'm on a mission from God to eradicate evil. All right? You know who tried to do that? You ever hear of a guy named Milosevic? Milosevic, he was the president of Serbia. Right? And you know what he was trying to do? He felt like he was on a mission from God to eradicate evil. And so you know what he did? He killed all the Muslims. He felt like, I am on a mission from God to eradicate evil. He was the president. And the people followed him. And they had ethnic cleansing. There were popes who thought that. Who thought, you know what? We just need to go and take back the Holy Land. And they called them the Crusades. You hear those?
Oh boy.
Remember what those were?
The Inquisition
was another one. Where basically what happened was there was people who were in the hierarchy of the church who felt like everybody needed to adhere to our doctrine. They have to adhere. If they don't, off with their heads. You know? Kill them. And when the church has done that, you know what it's done? It's wrecked. It's wrecked people's lives. Just wrecked. Because all of a sudden the church felt like it's my responsibility to eradicate evil. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not your responsibility. Jesus is going to send the reapers at the end of the age to do that. Now, does that mean we're not supposed to stand up for righteousness? No, we are. Does that mean that when sin is, it happens in the church, or people are doing things that are ungodly, we shouldn't say, that's not right. But when we approach something, whatever it is, because we recognize it's evil, it's destructive, we're supposed to do it with grace and truth. Grace and truth. With mercy and love. That's how we're supposed to expose evil. But as far as eradicating it, taking it out, removing it, not our job. Not our job. We need to remember that evil will always be present in this world until Jesus removes it. Always. It'll always be here until the day of judgment. So it's not our task to remove it. It's God's. We're supposed to stand up for righteousness' sake and hinder he who wants to totally destroy. That's what we're supposed to do. The removal of evil in this world is a job for the angels at the time of judgment. Okay? Now the other thing about we're supposed to learn is that we're supposed to persevere in faith and obedience until Jesus orders the complete removal from all the evil of this present world. We're supposed to persevere in faith and obedience. In verse 30, the owner of the field told the servants to let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, the landowner would send in the reapers to take care of things. But until that, the servants were just supposed to continue doing their job. Now, the servants were the ones that were going out there and weeding up the fields. They were the ones that were seeing it all the time. And so they just had to kind of watch at times, just watch this stuff grow together. You know? And sometimes it's difficult. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to speak against it. And sometimes, like I said, it looks like it's the same thing. It's the same thing, and we're supposed to walk in obedience. I had a friend of mine the other day come over, and she was talking to me about, well, Jim, don't you just think that basically God is going to forgive everybody? I said, He'd forgive anybody who asks. But if you're talking about universalism, I think that's a big thing in the church right now. You guys know what universalism is?
Yeah.
The universalism is where, because God is love, when everybody dies, everybody's going to go to heaven.
No.
That's wrong. Okay? It's untruth. Even though God, not the part about God is love, He is total love. He's totally made a way. But even right here it talks about that there are people who are going to end up in hell because they refuse to acknowledge the truth about Jesus. All right, we've talked about that before, that the sin that cannot be forgiven is a person who doesn't want to be forgiven. Right? You don't want to be forgiven, you won't be forgiven. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working in the world right now to convict the world of sin and judgment. All right, you don't respond to that. Basically, what will happen is you will end up in hell. Jesus talks more about hell than He does about heaven. You know? And He says it. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end. We need to have that hope, but yet continue to walk in obedience and in faith. That God, Lord, You're faithful. You're faithful. And even though what I see doesn't look good, I'm going to trust You and I'm going to believe You. I'm going to stand with You, Jesus. That should be our heart and our attitude in this world. That's what the world needs to see. Right? That's what it totally needs to see all the time. You know, so, and I was talking to another couple last night, and we were talking about, you know, what's difficult about living as a Christian? And what I heard at the conference, and I go, that's one of those ones I'm just holding on to. You know, it's a lot easier to be disobedient than obedient. It's difficult to be obedient. Isn't it?
Yes.
Is it easier to forgive or to hold a grudge? You know, right? Is it easier to criticize the president or pray for him? What's easy, you know? And I just think, there are so many things that we talk about in our Christian life that we think this is so much easier to disobey. It's a lot easier than to be obedient to God and to be obedient to what He says. You know? But until He comes, as Christians, that's what we're supposed to strive for. Just holiness, obedience, God, that's my desire, that's what I want. Am I like that all the time? Yeah, you know, that's what I want. That's what I desire. Lord, You do it in me, because I need that. I need that in my life. You know, and so as we trust the Lord, it says in 2 Peter, it says, for the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Guys, there are people that are going to go to hell all around us because they refuse to know the truth. They just don't, they don't want to know it. So we need to be obedient and trust Him. And let me close with this. This is the last thing that we need to remember. Whoever has been given grace to hear should diligently heed what we've heard. We need to heed it. We need to respond to it. If you're here today and you have never just said, Jesus, I need You. I need You. I see that, one, I have not surrendered my life to You. I see that, one, I have gone my own way. I continue to want to be my own God in my life. Lord, would You please forgive me? Would You forgive me? Lord, would You come and set me free? That, Lord, I would know You. Set me free, Lord. If you have ears to hear, hear. There are going to be sons of the kingdom and there are going to be sons of the devil. All right? And people who place their faith in Jesus Christ and now trust him and are following him, boy, we need to be excited about who we are. We know where we're going, right? But if you're not a Christian and if you don't have that confidence in who Jesus is, oh, you're lost. You're totally lost. So for us who know, we need to continue to share it. Let other people know that God is working in our lives. And we're here to be an influencer in this world until he comes back again. Let's pray. Father, Lord, your word says that people who are lost, they're going to go to an eternal fire where there's going to be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Lord, that could be tons of different things. I mean, I think of that it's going to be the regret and continued regret of not accepting Jesus. The continued reminder of all those opportunities that people have to respond to truth. And Lord, so many times that they're going to remember how they refused it. And because of that refusal, they will end up eternally separated from you. Father, let your mercy flow. God, shine forth, Lord, in this place, God, and the people we talk to, that, Lord, we might be influencers of your love and your kingdom. And, Lord, let it have its work in us each and every day, we pray.